praying for the married couples of our town. I've said this a few times, but according to what I've heard, there's about 1,000 divorces in Standerton per year. 1,000 families are destroyed per year in this town, and we're not such a big place. So God wants to do something amazing in the lives of married people. But if they don't attend, no lives will change. So let us use this opportunity to really reach out to our town. And bring friends with you. Come with a few friends. Amen. Let's just quickly pray. Father, I thank you for the honor and the privilege to bring your word. Thank you, God, that you are the mighty one of Israel, and that you pay attention to each one of us. That you look at us and that you are concerned about us. And that you are for us, that you are not against us. I honor you today, Lord, and I pray that you speak through my mouth and that you bring your resurrection power into this room and raise us up, lift us up with strength that rises up, with faith that rises up. And God, that you bring a restoration in our lives and in this church and in this town like never before. Amen. It is my prayer that this message will usher in a new season for us as a church, but for me personally and for you personally, and that this message will also usher in a revival in Standerton, and hopefully it will spread to the towns around us. Now, I'm going to start by sharing a little bit just about our holiday and where we've been. We've been to Kierbrook Strand, that's about 7 kilometres from Plettenberg Bay, and my grandmother has a house there, and so our family got together there and spent 2 weeks together over Christmas and New Year. And my sister and her fiancé flew in from England, and we all took a lot of travel to be there, and it was the first time in 16 years that we came together again in that place. And I grew up in Randburg, and every December holiday we would spend at that house in Kerbstadt. And as a family, we would be there for about 4 weeks. And that's the memories that I grew up with. Those are the special times, the special family times that we've had. We're all in that place, and I've got so many different kind of memories locked up in that place. And for me, it was so wonderful to once again share that with my brother, my two sisters, and my mom, and all the new additional family members and the new ones that have been born. Plettenberg is close to Meisner, and I don't know who of you have walked in some of the Meisner forest. Who of you know the Meisner forest? God, I've lived there around about there. Okay, it's beautiful, wonderful green forests, and you have those tarzan ropes. Who of you have swum on a tarzan rope before? Okay, and then you go there and you go, I remember as a young boy walking through those forests and playing hide and seek between the ferns and having such a wonderful time there. But then a lady by the name of Dalia Mantia brought out some books. The first one was called Killing of the Horse. And then after that came Philosophicate, and then that was Bulbay Books or something like that. Who of you read those books? Some of you read those books. Now, as a young boy, I was reading those books, and I was just imagining myself coming around the corner, and here stands one of those hulle tweete. For those of you who read the books, you're not allowed to say woolly farmed, because then it's like a curse, and they're going to trample on you, so you must say hulle tweete. And so I sort of really lived myself into those stories in the forest. And but I remember the one thing concerning the elephants. And there was one specific case where someone was hunting the elephants, and he was sort of walking in a specific distance direction, sort of tracking the elephant, going on the spur of the elephant. And he was sort of turning a little bit, turning a little bit, turning a little bit. And too late did he realize that the elephant went back on his own spur. circled right around and came in from behind him and started stalking him. And so the hunter became the hunted. And my message is entitled today, Retracing Your Steps. Going back on your spur and retracing your steps. Going back in your journey in life and going to find some old, what's it called in English?
Footprints.
Find some old footprints in your life and go and walk in the places where you used to, or go and do the things that you used to do, and go and celebrate the times and the things that you used to have. But there's a specific manner and a specific purpose in all of this. The elephant is not the only one that had that habit. I've read about buffalo doing the same thing. As soon as they discover that they are being tracked, as soon as they discover that there's an enemy that is upon them and that their lives are in danger, when they realize I am in peril, in those moments, the biggest animal on earth, the elephant on land, as well as that buffalo, a ferocious one, would go and circle around and come back on its own tracks. Even Air Force pilots, you see movies like Top Gun. But I remember the first time I saw one of those fighter plane movies and how the guy's flying and it's like going and ducking and diving, and then suddenly there's a guy on his tail, and then his buddy shouts in the radio, "There's somebody on your six! There's somebody on your six!" Okay, you know what that means? For the ladies, that means there's somebody behind you there now. And then he would be ducking and diving and then go for some kind of cloud, and then as he reaches into the cloud column, then Tom Cruise would pull up that throttle and then would go climbing, and you could see his face like pulling back as the G-forces goes again, and he does a whole loop back. And then after the cloud, he comes back and he's behind this German guy who never is now shooting at him. And again, the hunted became the hunter. The one in danger became the one in power. And so we may find ourselves sometimes in life that we find ourselves in danger, that we find ourselves in peril, that we find ourselves in tough circumstances, in difficult circumstances, that we sometimes find ourselves in a hole. We were playing a game during the holiday, and we had to each, as part of the game, write some piece of advice for whosoever. And so my one sister wrote this. She said, "When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging." Which I think is quite good advice. But even if you find yourself in that place where you find yourself maybe in a hole, or you find yourself in quicksand, or you feel like you're not quite running as fast as you used to, you're not quite as strong as you used to, and you're not quite as much on fire as you used to be, but most of all, when you are in the trouble or in danger, it's time to retrace your steps and come back on the old spur. So I want to read to you something that Jesus spoke about from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write," meaning to the pastor of the Ephesian church, "the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. You have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also have. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Another translation says verse 5 as follows. Therefore remember where you have from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place until you repent. He's speaking here about first love, the principle of first love, and he's saying to the church, you've done well, you've not become weary, you have had spiritual discernment, that you noticed who the false apostles are, and you sort of exposed them, and you didn't give up, but you bore many struggles and many pains for my name's sake. In other words, you've held on, you've stuck firm, you fought the fight that you've done, and yet you kept going. And I commend you for that. But he says, there's one thing you've lost. That is your first love. That first love is your love for Jesus Christ. Which means we can, as believers, be in the church and be following God and be firm in our faith. To not waver from our faith that Jesus as our Lord and Savior is the Messiah. And we can be diligent in many things, yet have come to lose our first love. And it is my prayer that in 2013, we will rekindle the fire of God in our hearts. The love that we had. Think of a time when you were most in love with God. Think of a time that you've experienced God more than at any other time in your life. And that is sort of the starting point of what I want us to experience in 2013 and go from there beyond. To move beyond and to not only return to that place, but to go deeper into God, to have our love stronger for Him and to be built up. I just want to do a quick check here. Who of you have been following Jesus as a born-again believer for more than 5 years? Okay? Raise your hands up. Okay. Wow. I thought more of you are going to raise hands. Okay. Who has followed him for more than 10 years? Okay. Let's make a quick jump. 20. Okay. 30. Ah, here you go. Maybe I should ask for 40, actually. It's just going to get away in our ages. But I've come to see that as one walks with God, sometimes, every now and then, one needs to retrace your steps. Every now and then, you need to come back. And Jesus gives us very clear advice. He says to us very simply, when you have lost that first love, when the love and your passion and your zeal and your fire for God has grown a little bit cold, or completely cold, friends. He says, there's one thing you need to do. Go and do the first works. Not just think about the time. Not just long for the time. Don't just tell stories about the good old days. But it says, go and do what you used to do. If you spent an hour with God in those days, then do it again. If you went for a certain hiking trail or whatever it is that you used to do, go and do it again. Look up some old friends, speak to them over the phone if they're not around, and say, let us pray together even over the phone, and rekindle some of the things that you have experienced by going and doing the first works, those things. And this is what God has been speaking to me about, and it's something that I have trusted God for in my own family. We're a close family, we love each other, and we have more or less regular contact. But we are scattered over the world and we don't see each other as often. And one of my prayers for this holiday was for restoration. That we would find one another again. That the closeness that I used to have with my brother would be restored. That the closeness with my two sisters and even with my mom would be restored. That people grow as close as we used to be, and even more so for the time to come. That we will rekindle our relationship, that we will find one another again as family, but then not just leave it there for the good old times, but say this is a platform from where upon we can build for the future. Now, coming back to our holiday time, how did we do this? How did we rekindle those things? We went to all of our secret little places. In Kirung Strand, there's a place where you can walk along the beach, and the destination is called Arch Rock. Has anybody ever heard of Arch Rock? Nobody. Well, that's our secret. Well, now you know it. It's a massive rock, and literally has a big arch. And right at the top, there's a hole in the arch. And then we used to stand at the bottom and pick up some stones and try and throw it through the hole. It's quite high. So it's quite a trick to actually get the stone through the hole. And my younger sister, there was sort of a young man who was interested in her, and he said, "I've got a question to ask you." She said, "Hold your question. If you manage to throw a stone through that hole, the answer would be yes to your question." So that was sort of his test into the family, and so he threw the stone through the hole then, and his question was if she would go out with him. That was not the marriage question just yet. But now they're happily married, and they've got one child.
Yeah.
There's another place called Spaterals. And it's a rock that's sort of a half dome, and in the middle it's a hole, and the waves coming from behind, and it smashes through the hole, a spray from you up to the door maybe. That's how far. And if you're not careful, you stand there looking in there, suddenly you get a ton of water in your face. And we went to other places like, what do you call it, there's torch in the mouth, and swam to the raft there, and went to all those hot places where we used to go. What we would do is I would also share with our children the stories of what we used to do. And I spoke to all of our five children, and I told them, "In this place we used to do that, and in this place we used to do that, and my brother and I, we're banging a neck, we used to do this, and we used to do that." And then I would teach them how to do the same things. And I handed down my treasures unto them. And I was so blessed. One day we went for a hike on Bromberg. It's sort of like a mountain that goes into the sea. And I told Michael beforehand, I said to Michael, on that beach, on that island, or on that mountain, on the backside, you can't see it, it's nature reserve, there's a secret beach. Because when I was young, there was the most beautiful beach I've ever seen, with the most crystal clear waters. And I said, "I'm going to show that to you when we go hiking." And we were driving in the car, and we overheard Michael telling his sisters and his brothers that Danny is going to show us the secret beach. And he added, "That's where the pirates used to stash their treasure, of course." So we had to make the story a little bit more interesting than just the secret beach. And he said this. He said, "One day, when I'm old, I'm going to bring my children to the same beach." And I thought to myself, wow, isn't that amazing? That really just stirred my heart, and my heart was just leaping as I heard it, because you know what? What I was doing is the very same thing that my father used to do. As we were driving around, he would tell us the stories of when he was a boy, and what his father used to do with him. And he told us the stories, and he showed us all the secret places and all the wonderful things we did. And everything I've shown Michael is the things that my father has shown to me. And now he's in his little seven-year-old heart made the commitment and the dream he has already that one day he's going to bring his children to that same place. And they're going to enjoy the same special time. Sometimes we have to retrace our steps. Sometimes we have to come back to the old places. Sometimes we need to look at familiar old faces that you haven't seen for years. Sometimes we need to come back in our journey with God and say, "Let us rekindle. Let us rekindle." But as we come closer to God and as we retrace our steps, again, I want to say to you that it's not just for memory's sake. It's not just wandering down memory lane. It is that we go and do the first works. I went there with Michael, and I didn't stop throwing that stone until I got one through the hole. It took me about 20 throws, I must tell you. But I did it. I threw the hole, the stone through the hole. I climbed into Spaterholz, and I found some treasures, like abalone shells and stuff, inside for the children. I want to just encourage you as different generations. Towards the end of last year, it all started to open my eyes a little bit for some of the church members that we have. And I want to call it the generation just before me. You know, it's the generation just older than me. We have about 4 to 5 generations in our church, and as I've said many times, every generation has value. Every generation has a contribution to make. But I was looking at our mother's generation and CBS generation and sort of that group of friends and several friends who've been serving God in Standerton for more than 20 years and have been having promises and have been fighting battles for many years. And Beryl's face came up to my mind, and I'm not going to mention everybody's names, but you know what I saw? I saw all of you in that generation, like 20 or 30 years ago, like you've lost some wrinkles and that. Much younger, and I saw you as I listened to you for your conversations as you spoke to one another. I was watching how you interact, and it was like I was suddenly transferred into your lives 20 years ago and your adventures that you had 20 years ago and the way that you were. And I realized as I'm getting older that I'm still the very same person I was when I was 20 years old. And my heart is still the same. My body is not quite the same. And yesterday I discovered my tennis is not quite the same. But there's a treasure in your generation. And I want to call it in our church here in Standerton as one of our leading generations. Not one of, but the leading generation. Every generation has a contribution to make. But the Lord opened my eyes and said, Anton, there's a treasure in that generation. And we need to retrace our steps. We need to go back to the times when we were in our prime. We need to go and do the things we used to do. We need to go and experience the things we used to experience. And then share with the newcomers the same things. And share with the next generation the same things. Because my brother and I, we went and we showed the newcomers. The newcomers is Jan Nuri, that's my one sister's husband, and the other newcomer is Nick, and he's a fiancé to my other sister. And we showed them all the secret places as peers, but newcomers. And then we showed the children the same. And so I want to challenge you as a congregation from this moment onwards that we just take January as the month. We're going to be spending time in prayer and fasting for the next 21 days. Wait upon the Lord. But not only wait upon the Lord. Take a few steps back. And let us go redo the things we used to do. Let us rekindle the fire that God has given us. I want to think of Polly's generation. She's not here today now. But I think there's many things that she can impart to us. There's many stories that she can share with us. But we need to go and walk also in Polly's footsteps. Together with her. I saw my children as we were walking on the beach, they would walk in my footsteps. Who of you did that when you were young? Try to walk in your dad's footsteps. And like you almost die to reach there and split like almost every step. But you do that. And so I want us to learn to walk in each other's footsteps and to discover the secret places that each of us have and throw it into one pot together. And what was so blessed for me over this holiday season is how everyone's contribution, because the new people also contributed. The two new men in the family contributed new things and a new flavor, and all of it together was blessed. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 26 from verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And Jehovah blessed him, and the man became great. And he went forward and grew until he grew very great. And he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and many servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with the earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are mightier than we are. And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and lived there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar strove on Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Contention, because they strove with him. And they dug another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Opposition. And he moved from there and dug another well. This is the third well. And they did not strive for that. And he called the name of it Broad Places. And he said, "For now Jehovah has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went from there to Beersheba. And Jehovah appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Do not fear, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord God and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants dug a well there. In the following scriptures, they found water again in that new well that he dug right there. Now, first of all, if we just look at this story, there was a time of great blessing in the time of Abraham. There was a time when Abraham was mighty, and the Bible speaks of him as a mighty man, and he had a pretty large army for those days. And people feared him, and they respected him, and honored him. And Melchizedek came and connected with him, and built a relationship with him. And God walked with him, and favored him, and gave him supernatural blessing. It was such a time of friendship between Abraham and God. And out of that friendship, and out of the closeness of their relationship, came blessing, came abundance, came financial prosperity, came all kinds of blessings. And it was during those times that Abraham went to specific places, most probably where God led him to say, "Dig here, dig there." Most probably, I would guess, he had supernatural direction from God. And he dug those wells, and the well, the water came up, wonderful, refreshing, living water, which he used to feed his flock, and his flocks multiplied and grew in great, great numbers. And during the time that Abram was alive, nobody dared to come close to his territory. Nobody dared to touch his wells. Nobody came to even contend with him, and those who did maybe was just cut off and destroyed. Abram was a warrior too. But after the death of Abraham, there came a time when the Philistines came and they started to oppose the inheritance. They started to oppose the blessing that God had given to Abraham and to his descendants. And they came and they stopped the dwells. They threw sand in it and closed it up. And in life, sometimes it happens that we have enemies, most of all Satan himself and his demonic spirits, who would come into your life and will try to rob you of your living water, because without that living water, without that water that comes from Almighty God, you cannot have life. You cannot have prosperity. Your flocks cannot multiply. They will die, in fact, of thirst. You will find a spiritual dryness in your life, which you cannot even try to explain, because you do not understand the fact that your wells, the places where you used to drink from, has now been closed. That place of the well is the point of contact where you make contact with God, who provides the living waters. And so Isaac comes on his journey, and he moves from place to place, and he goes back to the land of his father. He goes and revisits those wells. He retraces his steps, and he comes back and he says, he has found the wells, and he named it what? The same names that his father named. In other words, Isaac was a little boy, and his father would walk with him and he'd say, "This is the well called such and such. This is the well called such and such." And he showed in the land. He showed in the places of contact. He showed in the places where he could receive water, where he could receive nourishment, where he could receive strength from. And from Abraham, it was transferred unto Isaac.
But Satan came to steal it and to destroy it and to rob him and his next generations. But he said, I shall come and I shall return and I shall visit and I shall do the first works. In other words, as my father dug the wells, I will re-dig the wells. I will open them up again. He didn't sit there and put a memorial stone there. He didn't sit there and think of, oh, the wonderful times we used to have around this well. How my father used to tell me stories around this well. No, he rolled up his sleeves and he started digging and he opened up the wells again. And I want to tell you today that if we are going to open up the wells, we're going to have to do some work. We're going to have to do some practical work. We're going to have to dig in to God, into His presence. We're going to have to spend time. And this next 21 days is the most opportune time for that. It's the start of a new year. It's a time where we can now wait upon the Lord. And as we sang earlier today, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Let us come back. And I want you to think about where the wells in your life are. Where the places, the spiritual places of blessing is. And the times that you have encountered God. And I want to tell you, I'm preaching as much to myself as I am to you. I do not preach here as one with the right. But I can tell you, I have started to retrace my steps. I can tell you, I've started to dig up somewhere else. And I can see the water coming. The water is coming. Amen. Isaac not only dug the wells, but after he found his first well and the water came bubbling up and he was rejoicing and dancing and shouting, and they probably had some feast to celebrate the digging up of the well and the feast. And so here comes the old enemies and they come and contend with. So when you start digging up your wells and the water starts flowing and you celebrate the water, you cannot just sit back and think, well, Satan is just going to let it slide. No. Satan came through the Philistines and he contended with him. And he called the first one contention. And so there was an argument, there was a fighting, there was a warring about it, and it sounds to me like they lost the fight. And sometimes we dig up the old wells and we lose the fight. We lose the well that we've just dug. But Isaac didn't give up after digging the first well and losing the first well. Then came the second one. And he dug the second one and again the water came up. And again they came and fought with him. And he called, the next one was called opposition. There was contention and then there was opposition. And I think he lost that one too. But yet he carried on. Kept on retracing his step. Said, I know, but there are more wells. There are more places where I can dig in. And he went to the third one. And he dug there. The water came up. And nobody contended with him. And he named that place the broad places. Because we have found a space where we can come in. And we can live. And we can multiply. And we can do what God has called us to do. Without fighting, without contention, we've come to a place of peace where we can multiply unopposed. And I want to tell you that as a church, we're in a season where we need to re-dig the wells, we need to reopen those wells, and there will be contention and there will be opposition, but we need to keep on digging up. We need to keep on looking for that water in the places where God has shown us faithfully in the past, where the places are. And I believe that we shall come to a place in time where too we will find peace in our town. We will say, people will say, let us give Shofar the space they need. Let us not contend with them anymore. Let us not fight with them anymore. Let us not be jealous of them anymore. But let us give them room to be themselves. Let us give them room to multiply without us being fearful of losing sheep or anything. Let us call a peace for the house of Shofar. And I believe such a time will come. But we need to keep digging and to stand strong and to stand firm. I'm speaking not only about shofar and shofar's tanit, but I'm speaking to you and me. Each of us, I believe, need to redeem the wells until we find peace, until we find room to grow, room to multiply, where God's blessings can be upon your life, where you don't need to fight day in, day out, doing warfare, but where you can find peace. Yes, we will always have Satan on our backs, somewhere, somehow. But then, there's something amazing. He moved on to another place, and God appeared to him in that place. In other words, it's dry ground. There's nothing there. Isaac is walking here, he puts camp up, and God speaks to him, and he says to him very simply, as I was with your father Abraham, so I will be with you, and my favor is upon you, and for the sake of my promise and my covenant with Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. You are a son of promise. And God reestablishes Isaac's identity. He says, in this place, I want you to know that as Abraham was my friend, you now take his place as my friend. You now walk as the patriarch. Abraham was the patriarch, but now, Isaac, you are the patriarch. And my connection will be with you, and you will be my chief representative on this earth. And from you, one day the Messiah will come. One day, great eternal blessing will come. And then he built an altar to offer unto God. To mark the place. And then he started to dig a well in the dry ground. That was his own well, where he encountered God himself. And they found water. In other words, you're going to retrace your steps and go back to the old wells and dig them up and stand your ground and fight for it. But then there's going to come new time. When we move forward, when we move beyond, when we start to stretch our boundaries in life, and we come to plain ground, and we say, now is the time to have another encounter with God, a fresh encounter, a new time, a new place, and dig a new well. My message, in other words, today is not only to simply retrace the old ways and the old steps and the old wells. Do that first, because that's what Isaac did. But then once you have done that, dig new wells. And keep on digging new wells, which you can give unto your spiritual sons and your biological sons and daughters. And give it unto them. Move beyond. In other words, replenish your strength and then move beyond that. Don't stand still. I asked myself a question over the holidays. This is my closing. Because I found myself at the end of 2012 being weary, being tired, and thinking of all the challenges that await us in 2013. And sometimes you come to a place in life where you don't even have the strength to go and dig out the sand. You know that the one is there, under the ground. But you just don't feel like digging it out. You don't feel like going in, working at it and strengthening yourself. And the question is, how do I find the strength? How do I find the ability to do this when I have no strength? Because if you've been without water for some time and you haven't had those wells, you become weary, you become thin, you lose strength, you lose power. So how do you do that? The answer comes back to Isaiah 14. But those who wait upon him shall renew his strength as the eagle. And so my encouragement to you in this next 3 weeks is to wait upon the Lord, to seek his face, and then to do like says. Just do it. There's a place where we might not have the strength. You don't have
the will or the desire, or you don't even know how I'm going to do this. And maybe you have already dug a well, found some water, and found opposition. Maybe you've dug another well, found some water, and found opposition. And you're at the place where you're thinking, should I go for number three, or will I lose just like I lost number one, or like I lost number two? And the answer is very simply, if you don't dig, you've already lost. If you don't dig, you already have nothing. So what do you have to lose? You have but everything to gain. Where you can say, now, regardless of how tired I am, regardless of how weary I am, regardless of how discouraged I am because of my failed attempts, and well number one and well number two, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to trust God that I will find peace at well number three. Help one another. I spoke to my brother on the second last day of our holiday, and I said to my brother, I love you very much, and I'm trusting God for restoration in his life. He's had some tough times in his life, and he's really been struggling in certain areas. And I said, I want you to phone me when it's done. I want you to speak to me like we used to speak. I want you to know that I'm going to be praying for you, but I don't want to just pray with you. I want to be with you as much as I can in spirit, that is. Because see, you live in Cape Town. But sometimes we need a helping hand to dig up our wells. Sometimes we need friends to help us dig. Because Isaac also had servants that helped him, and probably family members that helped him to dig. If you're going to just try it all by yourself, it's going to be difficult. Yesterday, we got together as the pastors in our region, next to, what's that dam? Artvisper Dam. Spent a wonderful time there, but it was for me, again, just re-strengthening relationships, coming together, and maybe in closing, I'm going to share this story with you. On 1 January, New Year's Day, about 10 o'clock in the morning, I called our family together, and my one sister's fiancé, is not a believer. But I called them together nonetheless, and I said, we're going to spend some time in prayer for those who want to. We're going to speak about the struggles we had in 2012, the struggles we perceive that we might have in 2013, but also our goals and the positive things that we are looking forward to in 2013. And we're going to pray together as a family. And we shared that, and we had many tears, and we finished almost a box of tissues as we were sharing and talking. And for me, it was wonderful to hear my sister Inika's husband, young. He says he comes from a wonderful family, a very together family, but he says he hasn't had such a heart-to-heart as he's had right there. And so I could have just prayed for myself for 2013. I could have just committed my life unto God for 2013, and I could have tried to dig my own little well there, but I called my family together and I said, let us now together start to redig the wells. Let us now together call upon God, and let us listen to each other's struggles. Let us hear how we're going to restore our lives as a family. And as we did as a biological family, I want us to do as a spiritual family. In our cell groups, our small groups, and as friends. Draw close to your friends. Draw close to your brothers and your sisters. And let us redeem them. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you are the great restorer. And as Isaac have lost some treasures, family treasures, that you have given me during encounters with you. You restore me. So Lord, I pray that you will come upon our house here at Shofar Stanton and restore unto us the lost wells. Give unto us new wells, old treasures
and being treasures. Father, I pray that you bind us together as one. And Lord, that this year shall be a year where we will find you and have intimate times with you, like at the best of times in the past, and better still to come. I want to pray, Father, for those who have dug a well or two and found opposition. Lord, that you give new strength in Jesus' name to keep on digging, to keep on going, to dig another well, to go to another place of meeting. I pray for all those who have already given up, and I speak life over them in Jesus' name. I want to pray for all those who have given up hope, and I speak hope over us. I want to pray for those who have lost a little bit of faith, and speak of the restoration of faith in Jesus' name. Dig it up and you need to go that way down. Just use this time, the next 2 minutes, and think about that. 2 minutes is not going to be enough. You need to spend quite a few hours maybe even in the next 3 weeks to think about it.